Good afternoon, friends. Good evening. My name is Tony. I'm a member of Grace Community Church in the San Fernando Valley, but I live up here in Santa Clarita and have for the last 26 years. And I'm here to bring to you this evening, before you hop on the train or go wherever you're going, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no better news, my friends, than salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. The Word of God says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus. My dear friends, each and every one of us will one day stand before God to give an account for our lives. And because God is good, because He is holy, righteous, and just, He will judge us according to the perfect moral standard of His law. Now, justice is an interesting thing.
Praise the Lord, homie.
God bless you, sir.
Praise God bless the Lord. You. I love you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Justice.
I know Jesus Christ with all my heart.
Good. Good.
I love God.
Amen. Justice is an interesting thing, my friends. It seems that we all want justice so long as it applies to somebody else. It seems that none of us really want justice if it applies to us. Today I heard on the news that Adrian Peterson, one of the best running backs in football today, accepted a plea deal agreement. He would pay a $4,000 fine. He'll do 80 hours of community service. He admitted guilt to a misdemeanor when he was charged with felony cruelty to his own child. If you follow the news, if you follow sports, you probably saw the pictures of this young boy. I believe he was only about 4 years old. The wounds on his legs and arms and other places on his body, that by the time the pictures were taken, were already old wounds, but yet the marks were still on him. The country was incensed. The sports world was incensed. The media pundit, the sports reporters on the news, they were incensed. They thought they should throw the book at him, that he should never play football again. And you should hear the people ranting and raving today about this plea bargain agreement that Adrian Peterson received. Everyone is saying that it's a miscarriage of justice, that he should go to prison, that if it was someone other than Adrian Peterson, if it was you or me, just John Q. Citizen on the streets, that we would certainly find ourselves in prison, and that would be justice. The Word of God says in Proverbs 28, verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. When I talk to people and I ask them if, when they stand before God, if they will receive justice or mercy, many people say, well, I'm going to receive mercy. God's going to forgive me. God's going to turn a blind eye to my sin. He's going to see the good things that I've done. He's going to look at my church attendance, and He's going to forget about my crimes against Him, and He's just going to let me into heaven. But yet when I ask them, well, what should God do with the pedophile? Well, they say, God, he should go to hell. What should God do with the child molester or the parent who abuses their child? Oh, well, that person should go to hell. What should God do with the white-collar criminal who has so much money he doesn't know what to do with, but yet he's still ripping off the average citizen, bilking them out of their money to line his own pockets? When I ask them, what should God do with that man? They say, oh, throw the book at him. He should go to hell. Then I ask them, what should God do with murderers? What should God do with men who kidnap children and murder them and bury their bodies only to be found years later? Oh, well, if God is just, He'll get rid of them. He'll send them to hell. We all want justice for the other guy. We don't want justice for us. My friends, you need to understand that God's justice is perfect. It's perfect. Yes, He is going to judge the murderer who takes another life with malice aforethought. But God's standard of justice also sees murder as simply hating another human being. The Word of God says whoever hates another person is a murderer. In fact, the Word of God says if you so much as call another person a fool, using it as a term of derision, that you are deserving of hell. That's God's standard. We think that the man who cheats on his wife multiple times, well, God should throw the book at him. But yet Jesus said, if you even look at another person to lust after them, you've committed adultery in your heart. You're no different than the person who's actually carried out the act. Again, the Word of God says, evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand it completely. See, my friends, those who seek the Lord, those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they understand the justice of God. Because they are receiving His mercy and grace. Because they understand that but for the mercy and grace of God, that they would face the same punishment as the murderer, as the pedophile, as the white-collar criminal. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have failed to live up to His perfect standard. Jesus said you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I will be the first to admit that I cannot live up to that standard. And I think if you were honest with yourself, you would likewise say, I can't live up to that standard either. But God, being holy, doesn't lower His standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. No sin can be in His presence. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is good. And He must punish sin. He's not only going to punish the sin that we hate in other people, He's going to punish the sin that we love in ourselves. Because He's holy. Because He's holy, my friends. This is the God before whom you will stand to give an account. And my dear friends, God has already written His law on your heart. You already know it's wrong to lie. Not because mommy and daddy taught you, but because you were created in the image of God. And as an image bearer of God, you know that God is truth. You know it's wrong to hate, to murder in your heart. You know it's wrong to harbor bitterness or resentment towards another human being. You know that, not because you were taught that in school, but because you were created in the image of God, and as an image bearer of God, you know that God is love. You know it's wrong to engage in any form of sexual immorality, heterosexual or homosexual. You know it's wrong to be surfing porn sites on the computer. Ladies, you know it's wrong to be reading the romance novels. You know it's wrong to not only commit adultery with your body, but to commit it with your mind as you're lusting after a man or woman walking down the street. You know that, not because you were taught that by your government, but because you were created in the image of God, and as His image bearer, you know that God is faithful. That's why, my friends, each and every one of us are without excuse. We will not be able to claim innocence in it or ignorance when we stand before God. We are without excuse. And He is going to do what is right. He's going to do what is just. He is not going to be a corrupt judge that will accept a bribe. He's not going to accept the bribe of your religion. He's not going to accept the bribe of your good works. He's not going to accept your bribe by holding yourself up as better than the mass murderer when you hate people in your heart. No, He is going to judge righteously. He is going to judge with equity. He's going to judge everyone the same way, according to the same law, a law to which we all fall short. And because He's good, He must punish that sin, and that punishment is eternity in hell. Now, many people yell and scream and say, that is not just. Well, they do that because evil men do not understand justice. But those who seek the Lord understand it completely. This God, this one God, there is only one God, who is angry with the wicked every day, who will judge the world in righteousness, whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, is also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And He showed that great love, my friends, 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you and me, my friends, He never once violated the law of God in thought, word, or deed. He could not, because He was and He is and He always will be the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect life from cradle to that cross. He lived a perfect life for some 33 years that you and I cannot live for so much as 33 seconds. And then He voluntarily went to that cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the just punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, my friends, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. Unlike Muhammad, unlike Buddha, unlike Joseph Smith, unlike Charles Taze Russell, unlike the false gods of Hinduism, Jesus Christ is alive today. And He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And what God commands of us, my friends, what He commands of me, what He commands of you, what He commands of all people everywhere, is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And because God is good, because He's loving and merciful and kind, He will not cast out those who humble themselves before Him, because God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And those who humble themselves before the Lord, those who seek the Lord by faith, understand His justice perfectly. Because they realize that that's exactly what they deserve, but God, by His love and His grace and His mercy, and for His own glory, chose not to cover them in His wrath, not to sentence them for hell for all eternity, but because of their faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, chose to save them, chose to justify them, to exonerate them, to put all of the punishment they deserve on His Son when He died on that cross. You see, my friends, that cross is where justice and mercy kissed. For only God could appease the just wrath of God, and only the perfect man, the God-man, could take upon Himself the punishment we deserve for our sins against God. That happened at the cross. That's where justice and mercy kissed. For God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, so that through Him we might receive the righteousness of God. That is the good news of the gospel. And if you do not hear this message, dear friends, as a message of love, that Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners like you and me, it is because evil men do not understand justice. And those who do not understand the justice of God cannot and will not appreciate the mercy of God. But if you humble yourself before Him, if you turn from your sin, and by faith alone, you will understand His justice perfectly, because you are a recipient of His grace and His mercy and love. So turn to Christ and live, dear friends. Turn to Christ and live. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Your name, sir?
Bert.
I'm sorry?
Bert.
Bert? I'm Tony. Nice to meet you, Bert. Do you live here in Santa Clarita?
Well, I'm homeless right now.
Okay.
But you know what? Like, when I pray to the Lord, there's another devil behind me, right? Because I be praying to the Lord as soon as a sidetrack. Yeah, because the devil doing that to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When was the last time you ate, Bert?
This morning.
You hungry?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to spend some time with you, talk about it. We could walk over there to the railroad cafe and.
I'm good, thank you.
You sure?
Okay,
don't let pride get in the way.
No, I'm good.
Because I'd love to serve you.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. So
when Brent, are you here?
You want to sit down? You want to sit down and talk?
To the Lord, it seems that she's always making me like baptized like F Jesus and all this.
Yeah.
And I hate that. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I be praying to him and I just like blank out and I go somewhere else like to my past or something. And yeah. I don't understand.
Well,
I don't understand.
How long's that been going on, Bert?
For quite a while already.
Yeah.
And so, I hate that.
So Bert, is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And how did
I love him.
How did you come to know him?
From birth.
From birth?
Jesus is my one and only. You know what I mean? Wow. God is my one and only. You know, through him, through God. Because God created him, you know, billions of years ago. But it seemed like every time I pray to my Lord, I always, like, get sidetracked. I'm like,
well, Bert, I think I can help with that a little bit. And just by what you just said.
Why did that happen to me?
Well, part of it could be that you might have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. Because God didn't create him. Jesus is God. The Word of God says that Jesus, the Son of God, was with the Father in creation. That Jesus, that God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together they were together. They've always been. They're eternal, and together they created everything. That Jesus is not a created being. He is the Son of God who took on human flesh, came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life as God in the flesh, died a death he did not deserve, and rose from the grave bodily, and now alive, rules and reigns as he sits at the right hand of the Father, as he sits in the place of power.
And you know what?
Yeah.
And I wish I could take his place. You know what I mean? Because he didn't deserve that. You know what happened to him? I mean,
well, Bert,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could, you know, stand it. But I would try to, you know, do what he said. You know, like whip me, whatever you want.
Well, Bert,
but I would try.
I appreciate that thought. But that's not something you or I could ever do, because the reason he took that punishment upon himself, even though he didn't deserve it, is because sinful men like you and me, we couldn't do it. We can't pay the penalty for our own sin to set us free, let alone do that for the rest of mankind.
Yeah, because he got whipped like 39 times.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
And, you know,
yeah.
Thing, I mean, I mean, I wish I could do it for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing it and saying, you know, it's a whole different thing. But I would try. I would try to do it for him. You know, just to prove my love to him. I mean, I love him that much.
Yeah. Well, Bert, instead of focusing on what you can't do for him, how we should live our lives is being willing to die for him, but living our life to bring him glory. And we can only do that if we truly know him as Lord and Savior.
Yeah, but I'm still drinking and stuff like that, and I'm homeless because the alcohol got into my between me and my family.
Yeah,
I don't blame him for kicking me out.
How long you been out on the streets?
About a month already.
Just a month.
Yeah.
Have you had any contact with your family?
No, I don't want to no more.
Do they have any idea where you are?
Yeah, they know where I'm at. Yeah, they came and saw me, but I can't face them.
Why is that, Bert?
Because I messed up.
Yeah. Well, we do that. We sin in many different ways. Yeah,
Well, plus my knees, you know, I know she cried for me. You know what I mean? Because her husband knew how to do what he had to do. I know every day. He opened it up. Okay. But I brought up on myself. You know. And I don't blame nobody for what happened to me.
Bert, can you think back to a time when you truly turned from your sin and put your trust in Christ alone as your Savior? Because no one is born with a relationship with Jesus. He has to call us to Himself and draw us to Himself. And
I pray every night for him to come into my life.
Yeah.
But He has to answer my prayer. I don't know, maybe he's mad at me, or maybe I'm not trying hard enough, or I'm still doing maybe what I'm not supposed to do.
Well, Bert, this I do know, that salvation is the gift from God. It's not something we can work for. It's not something we can earn by trying really hard.
Yeah.
It's a free gift, and sometimes, because of our pride, we won't let go of that idea that I'm going to show God that I can be good enough for Him. But we can't. It's not hard, Bert. It's impossible. Because if we want to make ourselves right with God, we have to be perfect. And we can't. That's why we need His Son. That's why we need a Savior. Because we can't save ourselves. So, again, I don't know your heart. We just met. But it could be, Bert, that you're trying to get to Jesus on your terms, that you're trying to measure up to God. Maybe you have a lot of pride, and you're determined that you're going to clean yourself up and pull yourself together so that you could be acceptable to God. But That's not how God gives salvation. He saves us and then He changes us. It's not that we change ourselves and then He sees us as good and so He changes us. See, Bert, I know I'm going to heaven not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve His mercy. I don't deserve His love or His forgiveness. I don't deserve His help. And it's when I came to the end of myself and I realized that there was nothing in me that would make me pleasing to God. When I gave up that pride and I humbled myself before Him, and that's when I realized that salvation is a gift. And you were probably a very hard-working man before you fell on hard times. What kind of work did you do?
Construction.
Yeah. All right, that's back-breaking hard work. I mean, I know when I shook your hands. I mean, they were the hands of a man who has worked for a living.
Yeah.
Right? They're strong hands. They're manly hands. They're rough hands. They're the same kind of hands Jesus probably had because He worked as a carpenter throughout His life, from His early years until toward the end of His life. But sometimes we can become so proud of being hard workers that we refuse to accept the gift of salvation. Just like when I tried to offer you a meal, you refused to accept the gift. And sometimes we do that with God, and we say, you know, I want to take your place. I'm not good enough. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that so that You'll accept me. But that's not how God works, my friend. That's not how God works. God extends His love to those He draws to Himself, not because we're good, but because He's good. Not because we're worthy, but because His Son, Jesus Christ, is worthy to receive the reward for His suffering, for His death on the cross. So, again, I don't know your heart, and I certainly don't sit as your judge, but it just sounds to me, Bert, like your pride is getting in your way. Your pride is getting in the way from you humbling yourself and going back to your family. Your pride is getting in the way of receiving the gift of a meal. Your pride is getting in the way of receiving the grace and the mercy and the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When did you have your last drink?
Just earlier.
Yeah.
Earlier. And well, you know what? Like right now, if I go back to my family, I want to go back. You know what I mean? When they want to give me a car and give me a place to stay and, you know, get good stuff and, you know, cut my hair because my hair never been as long. It just, you know, not looking sharp.
But see, that's, Bert, and I mean you no disrespect, sir. I mean you no disrespect. But that's pride, my friend.
Yeah.
That's
pride.
That's pride.
Yeah, pride.
I'm a proud man too. You know, so I'm not pointing a finger at you. Yeah. I struggle with pride too. But wanting to clean yourself up, cut your hair, get a car, do all of that before you go to your family and say, "Help me," that's pride. That's pride.
Yeah,
I how long have you struggled with alcohol?
Oh, just like about 2 years.
Okay. So, my hope is that right now your family would want you home so that they could help you. I mean, did they kick you out or did you leave?
No. Well, my niece's husband told me that enough was enough. Because I take methadone, right?
Okay, so you've struggled with heroin too.
Yeah, heroin. Okay. And sometimes I'd be like on the kitchen table, like nodding out.
Yeah.
You know, or drink too much. And
sure.
I'd be like, you know, in front of the kids, all like,
yeah,
like this. And, you know, I mean, they've seen all that. Like for weeks and weeks and weeks.
So
and my niece always told me, Uncle Bert, you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing that, you know, in front of my kid, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't look right. You know what I mean? I don't want my kid to remember you like that.
How long have you... How long have you struggled with heroin?
All my life.
All your life. You started... How old are you now?
61.
Oh, 61. Okay. And married, kids of your own?
Yeah, and I got two girls.
And is your wife?
No.
Okay.
So my daughter wants me to come. There was her.
Okay.
But I can't.
Why?
With her. I can't.
Why? Bert?
Because of
the pride.
Yeah. No, but
Bert,
I can't.
Bert, do you think you stand a better chance fighting alone out here on the streets, or being with your daughter who loves you?
Yeah, but
see, and this is, Bert, this is what is between you and God, my friend. Yes, the heroin is a sin. Yes, the alcohol is a sin. But Bert, at the root of that is pride. The root of that is pride.
Yeah, but I see a lot of, like, but I've been stay raised. I've been to every prison there was.
Yeah.
Except the Bay.
Yeah.
I've been to Four Yards. I've been to the Shoes. You know what I mean? I've been to, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Bert, I was a deputy sheriff for 20 years, so I know.
Oh, really?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm retired, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I just, you know what I mean? I mean, I've been off and down California.
Yeah.
And I hear the homies talking about, yeah, what do you with my daughter and this and that. And I'm like, why would you want to deal with your daughter for? And you're still, you know what I mean? I mean, you're depending on her. You know what I mean? That's not cool. I mean, you should be taking care of her.
Well, Bert, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that children are to honor their fathers.
Really?
That's what the Bible says, Bert. It's the fifth command in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. And what your daughter is trying to do, at least what it sounds to me, is that she's trying to honor her father. Because she loves you. Because she loves you. So let her, Bert. Let her love you. Let your daughter love you.
Yeah, but that's kind of embarrassing.
Right. I understand that, Bert. I understand that. But that's pride, Bert. That's pride, my friend. That's pride. And pride comes before destruction. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, but
it's your pride that's destroying you.
But I don't want to be like the other homies. Oh, you stay with me. I want to stay with my daughter.
It doesn't mean it has to always be that way, Bert.
Yeah, but that's kind of embarrassing.
Okay, so, you know what, Bert? So what?
Yeah, but I can't.
Bert.
I can't live like that.
But your love for your daughter, I'm sure, is stronger, more important than your pride.
I mean, I would give my life for her.
Then do it. By going to her and letting her help you and letting her take care of you. If that's more than just what you're saying with your lips, but what you mean in your heart, then give away your pride for her. You say you'd give your life for her. Give your pride away for her. And let her love you and help you. Not because she pities you, but because she loves you, because she's your daughter.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of embarrassing? Like,
more embarrassing than living on the streets?
Yeah, I think so.
But,
I don't know, maybe I got my priority all wrong.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Hey, Bert, what do you think it's coincidence that a guy who walked level 4 yards and a retired deputy sheriff are sitting here at a train station talking about these things? You think this is a coincidence?
No.
No. This is ordained by God that you and I would have this conversation. I don't know what he's going to do with all of it. But, man, have a moment of sobriety and see what's going on around you right now. Jesus Christ will save you, Bert, if you turn to him. If you set aside your pride, if you turn away from your pride and you turn to Christ, he will save you. That doesn't mean all your problems are going to go away. But Bert, he'll take your heart of stone and he'll give you a heart of flesh. And he will love you like a son. Not because you're...
Well, that's what I want him to do.
Okay, then turn to him, Bert. You got to let go of Bert before you can receive Christ. You got to let go of you. Jesus said, unless a man is willing to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple.
That's what he said?
That's what he said, my friend. That's what he said.
Well, so I can't follow him?
If you don't deny yourself, no. But if you deny yourself, Bert, and put all of your faith and trust in him, yes, you can. Not by your strength, not by your might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, and it's not that you can do it, it's that Christ can do it for you. But you have to come to him on his terms. Just like a judge doesn't negotiate with a con, Jesus doesn't negotiate with sinners. Right? A good judge, you coming back for third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, whatever, he's not going to negotiate with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Jesus. I've been to a lot of judges and know me already.
Yeah. Well.
So, Vargas, weren't you here like 3-4 times already with me?
God knows you better. He has seen everything you've ever done. But yet he's allowing
but
you.
But it's all been bad.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah, Bert. Me too. Me too, Bert. The Bible says that even our good deeds are filthy rags to God. Right? God, the perfect judge, has seen everything you've done. But yet he says, come to me, Bert. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary, tired, and I will give you rest. But you got to come to him on his terms, man.
But I am tired. I don't like living out here like this.
Then turn to Christ and live. Humble yourself before him. And let your daughter love you the way she wants to. Does she live local?
No, she lives in Riverside.
Riverside?
Yeah, but first I got to go kick this method down. I got to go to Tarzana. Because I can't go to her with a habit. You know what I mean? Because there's no clinics out there.
Oh, Bert, there's all kind of people struggling with drugs down in Riverside, man. There's all kind of places to get treatment and to get help.
No, but a methadone is something serious.
No, I understand. Do you know what's right across the street?
Yeah.
You do? Have you been up there to some of the meetings? And yeah? What you need more than meetings, my friend, is Christ.
Yeah, no.
You need Christ.
So I'm looking in the wrong direction then.
Yeah, you're looking to Bert to fix everything.
Yeah.
There's no reason for God not to let you keep falling until you cry out to him and say, I'm done. I'm done with me. And give yourself completely to him by faith. By faith in Christ. Turn to Christ and live, Bert. Not just in this life, but forever. There's nothing you have done in your life, Bert, that Christ shed blood on the cross can't forgive. There's nothing you have done that the power of the cross can't make new. The Bible says that when God forgives you through faith in his Son, he'll take your sin, all of it, and he'll remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he'll remember it no more, Bert. He'll remember it no more. That's the love of God. But to receive the love of God, you've got to be willing to set aside the pride of Bert. Sure you don't want some dinner?
No, thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Bert. I'm going to be praying for you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to be praying for you.
What church do you go to?
I go to Grace Community Church down in the San Fernando Valley, but I live here in Santa Clarita. There are two really good churches that are walking distance from here.
What's the one right here on the 9?
Well, you know, I don't know much about that one, but there's one down Newhall called Faith Community Church.
Oh, is this down New Hall?
Yeah, you go down New Hall, just past, it's up Meadow Ridge. Up behind the Meadow Ridge Apartments. It's up on a hill. I know the pastor, I know the people there. They're godly people, they're loving people. And they love to help people. And then another one is right down 13th to Placerita. Just this next light right here.
Yeah.
You just go down there and then on to Placerita, it becomes Placerita. And then there's a church there called Placerita Baptist. Again, I know people who go there. They're loving people. They're kind people. They'll tell you the truth. They won't blow smoke at you. They're not going to lie to you. They're not going to ask you for your money. But ball's in your court, Bert. I told you the truth because I care about you as a human being. Right? There was a day when I would have liked nothing better than to put you in the back seat of my patrol car.
Damn.
Right? But not today, Bert. I care about your soul. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I want you to receive the love and forgiveness of Christ.
I've been trying so hard.
Stop trying and receive him.
I think just do it, huh?
Yeah, set aside your pride and cry out to him and ask for his mercy. Stop trying to clean yourself up to be right before him because you can't. You can't. You'll never be clean enough. But if you receive Christ, he'll wash away those sins. And God will no longer see you walking in a level 4 yard, but see you walking with His Son in glory through faith in Christ. You give that some thought?
No.
All right. God bless you, Bert. All
right. All
right. You have a good night. I go to Grace Community Church.
Where's that at?
It's on Roscoe off the 170.
Roscoe what?
And the 170 freeway. If you go down the 170 and you head west on Roscoe, it's about a mile away from the 170.
Okay, west is that way or? That
well, that's south. You would take the 5 south to the 170, and the very first exit is Roscoe.
Okay.
Turn right, and it's on the left, about a mile up the road. Can't miss it. It's a huge church, Grace Community. But
what's the name of it?
Grace Community Church.
Grace Community.
Yeah.
You don't got a car?
You know what? I do.
Maybe one of these days I'll see you over there.
Well, you're welcome, Bert. You're welcome to come.
Don't forget your Bible.
No, I won't, but I won't, my friend.
No, but you're right though, about us being a penny like this, you know what I mean? Old convict, you know what I mean, with old detective or whatever you are. I ain't mad at you, man.
I ain't mad at you either, Bert.
You know what I mean?
I don't care what you've done. What I care about is where you're going. And I don't want to see you perish in your sin. I want to see you in heaven one day.
Yes, sir.
I want to be there with you. That's what I want. That's what I want. God bless you. God bless you, Bert. Love you, too. I try to get out here almost every afternoon. If you happen to be here,
yeah.
We'll talk some more.
What? You mean like about 3, 4?
Yeah, I usually try to get out here, you know, 3, 4 o'clock. I'm out here until about 6 or so.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to bug you one more time. You sure? Sure you don't want some dinner?
No, no. Thank
All right, okay. All right. Stay safe, my friend.
Oh,
Stay
yeah.
safe.
Oh, well.
Okay.